23, 24. Take a moment just to familiarize yourself with chapter 23 if you weren't here the other day. There are two addresses that are made here at the end of the book. We've read one of them, which Joshua delivered to all the people. And if you notice in chapter 23, there's an address specifically to the leaders of the nation, in which he rehearses before them the reality of the fact that it was God that fought for them and has secured them the victories they've enjoyed, very much in the same vein as he spoke to all the people, and to warn them specifically, don't turn to other gods. Don't turn back. Don't turn to other gods. And then in verse 14, he makes it clear to them. At the beginning of the book, chapter 23, of the address in chapter 23, we read about his age, that he's very old, it says in verse 2. And then in verse 14, he tells them he's about to die. He's about to die. So he tells the leaders to keep going and not turn back. He's going to go. He's going the way of the world. He's going to die. But they are to keep going and to keep serving the Lord. And then he gathers all Israel together and speaks the message that we read already tonight. We pick this up a bit in the Bible study on Tuesday night. And if I'm repeating myself, forgive me for that. But I guess in one sense, one of the advantages of perhaps of age is one forgets things from time to time. So a reminder, you don't even notice perhaps. I don't know. But chapter 23, verse 1, we're told, aren't we, that there is a very ancient person standing before the people. Look in verse 1. Joshua, old, well advanced in years. I mean, when the Bible says a person is old, that means this person is old. He is really old. And we picked this up on Tuesday. I'll try and stop repeating that phrase too many times, but we're living in a day when youth culture is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. There's a cult of youth. Youth is the thing to be seen as youthful. You hear people, even in their latter years, will say something like, I am now 90 years young. Everything revolves about youth. How we dress, how we speak, how we want to appear, how we want to be seen. The toupee, as an example. Attempts to disguise age, to pretend to be something we're not. And here we are looking at a man who is very old. Very old. And it's very evident that he is old. And in one sense, the Bible again and again focuses and zeroes in our attention on extremely old people. And wants us to listen to what they have to say. As these people speak with authority and experience before all manner of people in the name of the Lord. And I want to put it to you, as we were saying the other night, that this is very countercultural, isn't it? In a time where youth is the thing. But that is not the idol of the Bible. Youth is not an idol in the Bible. With long life, I will satisfy you. It's a gift from God, isn't it, to live a long, full life. And let's admit, let's face facts, in our particular day, at this time when there's this mass cult of youth, people are living longer than ever. We have more people, more centurions now they're called, the centurions, people who've attained 100 years, more centurions than at any other time possibly in human history. People are living, certainly in recent human history, modern human history, people are living longer than ever. And yet it seems at the same time while God is blessing people with long life and ripe years and age, people are doing everything they can to almost pretend that it's not age, it's youth disguised. And in that moment, they are denying the very thing that God has blessed them with. I was a wonderful woman on the radio. I was listening to the radio, and this woman passed her driving test in 1937. And she's still driving. And she's 105 years old. Now, some people are thinking to themselves at the very thought of that, get her off the road. But if you'd heard that interview, I don't know if anybody here heard that interview. You heard that interview. She was. What, tell me. She puts people half her age to shame. She was sharp as a pin. I'd get in a car with her tomorrow. Absolutely, definitely. 105 years old. Passed her test in 1937. An amazing old woman. Beautiful, wasn't she? Lovely woman. Wonderful woman. And it's good to remember, isn't it? It's good to remember that we can live a good, long, fruitful life. With God's help and with God's blessing. We're looking at Joshua in chapter 23 and this old man. And this old man is full of life. It's wonderful, isn't it? He's so unashamed. He knows he's old. He's been told he's old. The Bible tells us that he's old. And he says in verse 2, I am now old. He's upfront and clear about it. It's not something he's embarrassed about or ashamed of. Here I am old. And that's a good thing. It's a blessing that he's been given by God. And he's very, very happy to say so to anybody and everybody who's happy to listen and notice. It's a gift that's come from God. He's not embarrassed or ashamed. And this woman wasn't embarrassed or ashamed about being 105 years old. It's wonderful. It's remarkable. She didn't seem to me to be any afraid of death whatsoever. And Joshua, this man, he's not afraid of death. Why? What's the cult of youth all about? It's people are afraid of death, isn't it? They don't know how to deal with it. They just cannot. They have no way of reconciling themselves to the inevitability and the reality of death. If you know God and you know his forgiveness and grace, if you know about heaven, you don't look at your ongoing life the same way as the world does. You want to kind of keep, you know, almost like to be a child forever. Well, the righteous, the day of the righteous grows brighter as the day approaches, doesn't it? That's what it says in Scripture. We want to see Jesus. Do you want to see Jesus? The day approaches. The day approaches. And he's not afraid of death. When I think about the life of Joshua, and that he makes reference to quite a few things as he recites back the things that have happened in the past. Death has been his companion for years and years and years and years. Death's always been there. Death was there when he was down in Egypt and they were throwing children into the Nile. Death was down in Egypt when people, the slave master brought the whip down on people's shoulders and broke their lives. Death followed him down in Egypt when the whole army of Egypt pursued them to the Red Sea. Death was with him as he went out into the wilderness when there was nothing to eat and nothing to drink. Death was with him as there were rebellions and uprisings amongst the people. Death was with him as he stood before the Mount Sinai and there was thunder and lightning and the presence of God. Death was with him as the rivers surged through the Jordan River and people came out to fight against them, tribes and big men, giants. Death was with him when he went into Canaan's land. Joshua knows all about death. Death has been a companion for all his life. And he's not afraid. He knows God. He knows God. One of the wonderful things that happened in this interview was that this young whippersnapper of a BBC journalist. He must have been in his mid-40s. He probably thought, you know, he's on the up. You know, he's kind of getting established now. BBC Radio 4. I'm doing all right. Interviews this lady. And he says to her, "So how many of your friends still drive?" And she was so gracious. She didn't have to say, "Young man, I've been alive. I'm 70-something years older than you. You don't understand. I'm 105 years old." She just quietly said, "All my friends are in heaven." Of course they are. Of course they are. She's lost so many people. She's seen people go year after year after year after year. Death has been a constant. She's lived through 2 world wars. The massive flu epidemic after the First World War. She knows about death. She has experience. She's not afraid. She knows God. This young whippersnapper, you know. Old godly people with a message from God. Old godly people who know their God and can say so. Old godly people whose lives seem to have got increasingly enmeshed with the Lord over the course of their lives, that when they speak, you can't quite work out is God speaking or them now. And you get that, don't you, in the way you read. Did you read it and you hear it in chapter 24 as he's speaking? He's speaking on behalf of God. God is speaking through him. And at moments, the language almost changes so it's his voice. Because he's been walking with the Lord that long. He's seen all the things that he's done. And he's growing closer to him every day. He's growing in grace. He's becoming more godly as the years go by. That's what we see in chapter 24, verse 3, isn't it? That voice as he begins to speak. "I took your father Abraham from..." It's God speaking through him. And then later on, you almost hear like it's Joshua's voice again coming back. There's a closeness to be close with God. Isn't that something to meet somebody who's lived a long, full life and they're close to the Lord? It's a humbling thing, isn't it, to meet people who are close to the Lord, who know their God. And that's what we get an opportunity to do as we listen to Joshua here. Isn't it interesting? The book of Joshua is full of exploits and things that God did in Joshua's life. And it ends with these two addresses, doesn't it? When he speaks to the people. Does that remind you of the end of somebody else's life upon who he modeled his life upon? He modeled his life on the life of Moses, whose exploits and works and deeds are recorded for us in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And then at the end of all of that, we have these three mighty addresses by this very, very, very old man, who speaks authoritatively to all people, this voice of experience to all people gathered. He's got a message from God, an old man with a message from God at the end of the book of the whole book of Deuteronomy. And how does the book of Genesis end? The book of Genesis ends with Jacob, a very old man, gathering together God's people and speaking the very words of God to them. He's like, at the end of all these sections, these models, people who's lived long, full lives speaking the word of God to the generations that are coming behind them. It's a pattern, isn't it? So what do you want your life to be all about? Where are you aiming? What's your aim? What are you seeking to achieve? What do you want your end to be like? What do you want to be the statement that crowns your years, your days? What message do you want to leave behind you at the very end? I love Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12. Let's have a very quick look at it. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12. Some of you will be very familiar, I think, with this psalm. Psalm 90 and verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days, that we might get a heart of wisdom." Do you want, is it your prayer, your desire, that you would get a real sense of the preciousness of life and your opportunities, and you would lay the groundwork and the foundation of faith in your life now, wherever you're at in your life, so that at the end of your life, you would be able to speak the wisdom of God in a way that is authoritative and clear, just like Joshua and Moses and Jacob and all the others. Do you want a heart of wisdom? Do you want a heart of wisdom? At the end of chapter 24, verse 26, or not quite the end, but near towards the end, verse 26, Joshua talks, doesn't he, about placing a stone as a witness by the tabernacle underneath the terebinth tree. A stone. And that stone is there to say something. It's there to say something. It's supposed to say something to all sorts of people, remind people, all people who walk by to say something. What's the stone that marks your life going to say? What's the message that you're going to convey? What are you going to tell the world with your life? We get one life, one opportunity to make one thing clear. What are you going to say? We are living in these remarkable times where there is great longevity. People are living these wonderful long lives. There may be years and years and years and years ahead for everybody in this room. Years ahead for everybody in this room. That time is the opportunity to glean experience, isn't it? The experience, not just of places I've been and things I've ticked off on my bucket list, but time to know God, to really know him, to prove him in your personal lives, prove him in your daily lives, to see what he's done, just as Joshua saw what he did for him, to show people then what he's done for you, learning to be wise, learning to trust God in the situations of life. They went into battle after battle after battle. When they trusted themselves, they came unstuck. When they trusted God, they won. And it goes against the ego and the flesh. We want to take the glory, don't we? But the truth is victory, the things that matter. That's victory is what matters. And if it's God that gets the glory for it, then God be praised. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. This cult of youth thing. How wise do you think the general governance of nations are at the moment? Is it at least in part the absence of wise old people? Wise, godly voices, people of experience and gravitas, who command a hearing and have learned something in the course of life? Is it at least in part of our problem that we've thrown all the ballast out and we're light and flimsy and lacking substance? Is it that at least in part? Do we need wise heads, wise old heads that can speak the truth at times like this and steer the ship? I love the fact that it doesn't matter who you are. You might be a millionaire. You might be a leader of a nation. This woman is 105 years old. I don't care who you are. When you stand next to somebody like that, you feel humble, don't you? I don't care who you are. You have to hear what a person who's 105 years old has to say. It doesn't matter who you are. To them, you are but a child. And you have everything to learn. And if they could speak one thing into your life that would give you some insight into what the secret, the real meaning of life is, here is somebody who might actually tell you from their years of experience. I have to say this. I'm thankful for our queen. I'm thankful for the continuity that is provided. I love it when she talks about how many prime ministers she's seen come and go. The people who've batted through. They've gone through life experience. They've gone through different experiences over the years, and they've learned to remain consistent and persistent and find and prove the things that actually matter through the course of life. And these people, such people, have a most important part to play in the life of younger people. And by younger people, when you're 105, that means most of us. Younger people, we need guidance, we need help, we need elders. And here, Joshua is pleading with the people. He's pleading with them, isn't he? He's pleading with them, let's say in verse 7, chapter 23, in verse 7. Don't mix with these nations. Don't go after their gods. Because I tell you what happens to a nation when the younger generations go after other gods, the gods of the Mesopotamians, the Egyptians, and the Canaanites, and all the rest of it. When they're old, because the sun falls on the righteous and the unrighteous alike, old people, all sorts of people get old, not just the righteous. And we need to hear somebody who's going to speak some sense. If all they've got is the kind of the wisdom of Egypt and the wisdom of Mesopotamia and the wisdom of the Canaanites. And I don't know about you, but when I listen to the discourse, when I listen to the older generation, the discourse of the older generation in modern times, the generation who in the main have walked away from God. And I think that's true to say, isn't it? Instead of hearing the voice of wisdom, I'm hearing something else. And Joshua's warning, if you depart from God, when there needs to be a people who know God and can speak wisdom in our times, there will be only the voice of folly to be heard. It spells disaster. Because we know that age in and of itself is not enough. We need more than just to be old and have experience. We need to mature in God. Time to really get to know God. That's what matters. You listen to a lot of people, don't you? On the radio, people are in positions of authority and stuff, and you think, you just don't know the Lord, do you? You know so many things. You've had all these years. You've had all this time, all these opportunities, and you don't even know God. You haven't even arrived at base camp. And it's so... many people have no discernment. At least I can judge that, and you can judge that because you know the Lord. But think of the thousands and thousands for whom, this is the voice of experience. These are our prophets. Where will it end? Where will it end? We need godly, wise voices like the voice of Joshua. And I love the fact that he shares the things that have helped him through the years. Chapter 23 and verse 6, he says to them, therefore be strong, doesn't he? Do you see that? Therefore be strong. This is his message. Therefore be strong. Does that remind you of something? In chapter 1 verse 6, when he was a relatively young man, probably just 80, that's what God said to him. And he's learned to put those things into practice every single day. Be strong every day. So when he says to you, be strong, you know he's tried this and he's found God faithful. And sadly what happens is, especially as we go through life, we become increasingly risk averse. That does happen, doesn't it? As the years go by, people become more risk averse, more nervous. But his message is not be more careful. Be strong. That's his encouragement. That's his message to people. There was somebody talking about terms and conditions the other day. You know, does anybody here ever read terms and conditions? Somebody said they took a music app. It was like a little device on their computer that played music or helped them design music. And there was all the terms and conditions. And they read through it. And it said in the terms and conditions, this is not to be used in the manufacture of nuclear warheads. So some lawyer got so risk averse that he actually felt, or she felt, that putting a little factor in to warn people that a music app should not be used in the production of nuclear warheads was a useful thing to do. People come so nervous, so afraid, so cautious. They don't do anything anymore. They don't live. They're just terrified, consumed with their anxieties of what could go wrong. This person could use my music app to develop a nuclear warhead. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And what you end up with is not, it's one thing to meet young fools, there's plenty of young fools, but it's heartbreaking when you meet old fools. Through all the years, they seemingly haven't learned. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we're not going to turn there necessarily, describe some of the difficult things that people face in old age. You maybe get hard of hearing. Maybe your sight begins to go. Maybe you can't sleep so well as you used to. Maybe getting up on a step ladder makes you nervous. And you either read from those experiences your advice to the world. Don't try anything. Don't go very far from home. Don't explore. Or you keep drawing on what you know is true from God. And you keep telling people what you've actually benefited from through your life. Be strong. Be strong, Christians. Live. Live for God. This is a man who ended up living 110 years. We don't want our vision to be determined by our nervous experience. We want our vision to be determined by the greatness of our God. You know, this is a man who knows that God, in God there is victory. There is one in whom we can trust. And we all have drawn countless times on the challenge that he has given, this man has given to us. Choose ye this day who you will serve. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We've drawn upon it time and time and time again. And it is such a winsome invitation, isn't it? It's so inspiring. It's right, isn't it? A new Christian, they've been a Christian for 3 weeks. And it's right that they should say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's great, isn't it? It's great. And then the person who's been a Christian for 10 years, and they say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's wonderful. But when you hear somebody who's been serving the Lord for that lady's 105. Let's assume she's Christian. I think she sounded like a Christian to me, you know. She might have been a Christian for longer than everybody in this room has even been alive. And she's saying, do you see that with time and experience, the weight of your testimony only increases, the glory increases, if you will just press on and keep going and remain faithful and to listen to what God is saying and do it. I think I ought to wrap up. It's 7 o'clock. I did this a while ago, just to conclude, but I like rugby, and when the kickers, one of the things I particularly enjoy in rugby is when they kick the goals, when they kick goals, and they put the ball down on the ground and the goal is up there somewhere like that, and they do this rather ridiculous little routine where they stand there and they look at the ball and then they go and then they look at the goal and they go like this. And they follow it through. And they just rehearse and prepare and rehearse and prepare. And then they run up and they kick the thing. Right? And you see, Joshua is doing something like that. He's looking back over years of God's faithfulness. The years of God's faithfulness. It's an important exercise to do. Take some time this week to look back at the years of God's faithfulness. Look back at the years of God's faithfulness and saying, has he been faithful? And then say, now, tomorrow hasn't happened yet, but if he's been faithful in the past, can I follow that line through and say, yes, he will be faithful in the days to come? Can I look at the past and say, God is good, and say, tomorrow, He will remain good? Can I give that trajectory, that swing of my life, so that I can look ahead at the coming days and I can say with confidence, I'm going to be strong. Be strong. I can say to other people, be strong. I can be an encouragement to other people based on the experience I have of a faithful God, being prophetic and true that God will remain to be faithful, come what may. Come what may. Our time is up. Let's sing something.